All right. This is our StoryCorps interview. I am Margaret Crary, and I'm 56 years old. I'm in Fargo, North Dakota on July 4th, 2019 with my mom, Patricia Ann Scheel Crary, who is 97 years old. And I am interviewing my mom. And I'm going to start out with this question, very easy question. Where did you grow up?
I grew up 5 years in Sabin. In the next 21 years till I was 26 years old, I lived in Moorhead, Minnesota.
So Sabin, Minnesota, and Moorhead.
Yes.
What was your childhood like?
Oh, it was excellent. It was a good family. Good community, good friends. You really couldn't expect anything better because we hadn't gotten into the Depression yet. But in the 30s we did, and that affected some people, but really it was a very quiet city, good citizens. Good playmates, good surroundings. I couldn't have asked for anything better except if I'd lived on a farm.
Who were your favorite relatives?
Oh, all my Benedict aunts and uncles. Oh, and some twin cousins, Steve and Genevieve Olson, that lived in Edgley, North Dakota. But the Benedict relatives were all on the family farm at one time or another where mother grew up.
And did you have any favorites out of that group?
Oh, I suppose Edith, she was only 6 years older than I was. And then I would not like to choose anyone because they were all so good. And they were good for me. And they were nice to me, and I really appreciated them.
And who were your parents?
My parents were Frederick Martin Scheel, who was born in 1892 on Columbus Day in Chicago.
Wow.
And my mother, Mabel Benedict Scheel, who was born in Moorhead, where I was, in both mothers and dads were in October. Okay, she was born in October 1898.
And what were your parents like?
Well, I can give lots of good adjectives. First of all, they were very, very good people, honest as the day is long, and hardworking, and they took care of their business, they took care of their family, they helped take care of the neighbors if that need be. But they were just very good, hardworking people. Dad had a business, mother had her business was taking care of us and raising us. And they worked together very well all their lives. From the time they started going together when mother was still practically a teenager, I think.
In Sabin?
Mm-hmm.
And were you going to say something else?
Well, they went together for quite a while, I think, because Dad went off to service World War I, and I'm sure they were going together then. And then they came home and they got married. But there was a poem written about them in the Moorhead High School paper, so they must have been going together when Mother was in high school.
Hmm.
Or been interested in each other anyway. So it was a fairly good courtship.
Right. So when you were young, did you ever get into trouble?
Oh, I must have. I got spanked enough.
Why did you get spanked?
I can't even remember why.
Because you were the first child. Not the first child, the second.
Yeah, your mother was just short-tempered and she tired, I think. I don't remember getting into real trouble.
Okay. Can you think of the worst thing you did as a child? Forgot to brush your teeth.
I remember as a second grader, we had a girl living with us, and I took some money out of her dresser one day, and that was very bad because her mother and her, she knew right away. So that was it.
That was it. Do you remember, did she punish you?
I don't remember a punishment, but it must have been something.
Yeah. How would you describe yourself as a child?
I think I was pretty good. Mother was pretty strict, so we just paid attention to her. And I had, as children, we got along pretty well. As we went into teenagers, my brother used to, well, we got along well.
But what were you gonna say? Fred, your brother Fred?
Yeah. He used to kind of, when we were doing dishes, he'd roll up the towel on the wall and swat me. And that hurt.
Yeah.
And sometimes he would kind of say things that hurt my feelings.
Oh.
Even then.
Do you remember any of them?
Not really. Yes, I remember one. I entered a contest, and he thought that was so foolish.
Oh.
Whatever I did.
Do you remember what the contest was?
No.
Oh. How would you would you say you were a happy child?
Pretty much, yes.
Maybe around the Benedict?
Oh, they were good. They were very good. It was just mother's wanted to keep us in line a little too much, I think.
She was overly strict.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's your best childhood memory?
Oh, gosh. It all depends. Some of them were going out to the farm in the summertime. The farm that mother was raised on. My grandma died when I was six, and I remember being out there before that. And she baked little loaves of bread for Fred and me. And
that's sweet.
Oh, maybe I'm thinking when I got my bicycle when I was in third grade. That was great.
Oh. Was it a surprise?
I can't remember.
Yeah. Did you ride it around the neighborhood?
We had a driveway beside the house, and it kind of went back down a little hill towards the backyard. Then there's an opening in the hedge at the very back. So I rolled down that and started pedaling, and I went out through the hedge onto the sidewalk that went around the block. That was good.
That's nice.
I just had to keep my balance going down that hill.
How old were you when you learned how to ride a bike?
I would have been 8 years old, between 8 and 9. Probably my ninth birthday is between third and fourth grade.
How would you describe a perfect day when you were young?
Oh, I have no idea. I really.
That's okay. What about who has been the biggest influence on your life? And what lessons did they teach you?
Oh, mother. Because she taught me everything till even growing up and being married and raising children.
She taught you how to do all that?
Kind of, you know.
Yeah.
Telling me along the way. Either she or Edith, my Aunt Edith, who was one of my closest friends. She was only 6 years older than I was. And we were good friends till the day she died. But she helped me grow up and keep growing until even after I was married, she helped me a whole lot.
How did she help you?
Because she knew my husband.
My dad, Tom Crary.
Yeah.
And what did she teach you about him or tell you about him?
Well, to tell the truth, you know, he was an alcoholic. And she said they'll never stop drinking for anything except themselves. Nothing they promise for anything else won't work. It has to be for them. That's the only reason they'll quit drinking. So,
how do you think she knew that?
I don't know how she knew that. But she knew Tom, and she knew that he would have to just do it for himself. He wouldn't do it for me or your kids or anything else.
That was really true.
Mm-hmm.
So you would say Grandma and Aunt Edith?
Yes, without a doubt.
And they taught you all kinds of things.
Yes, Mother taught me, you know, just how to live. And they were hard workers, so they made good workers out of us. And she, because maybe I was the oldest, I learned how to cook. My sister didn't ever have to cook at home, so I went into marriage a whole lot smarter about that than she did.
You were the second oldest, but the oldest daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I did a lot of housework and cooked and ironed. I was a very good ironer, so I did all the men's shirts. So that's one way I really helped.
How were Edith and Grandma different?
Well, they're a whole lot different in age. Mother was the oldest, and Edith was the youngest of the family of 10 children.
Yeah.
So they came from very different backgrounds. Edith was probably quite a bit harder because her mother died when she was 12 years old. And so she didn't have a mother watching over her to grow up any further, but she had older sisters. Well, Mother grew up with a leadership capacity because she had to take watch over the family quite a bit of the time if Grandma wasn't well or just because there were so many children. And Edith was the youngest, and she grew up to be a hard worker, though, too.
What are you proudest of?
What?
What are you proudest of?
I don't know what I'm proudest of, but my six children. In fact, I have six good, wonderful children. And I wouldn't trade them for anything. Not a thing. What would I? I value each one. They're all different, but each has a gift. And I can share in their gifts.
That's neat. Six kids, man, that's a lot.
Well, in our neighborhood, that was usual, you know.
Right, the Jeromes had?
Nine. The Lazarks had six.
Huskins?
Wakefields, they had about, of course, the Huskins had 7. But on the Morans had 4.
And what about the Wakefields? How many?
I think they had 7.
Yeah, wow. Mans? I know they were left, but...
4.
4. Okay. How has your life been different than what you imagined?
I don't know how I imagined. Because I would never have imagined raising 6 children. And what that taught me about life, I guess. You learn a whole lot having to deal with 6 lives who are really in your hands for a while.
Well, really forever, because you have not let go of any of us, in a sense.
I have, but I've let you be yourselves, too.
You sure have. Yeah, well, what I mean is that you still...
keep in touch and very much part of your life.
Exactly, that's right. Okay. And you pray for us.
I pray for you every night.
Yeah. And you know, you really are very involved as you can be in our children's lives.
As much as I can be. And that's a... been great about moving down here when we did to watch Nancy's family when they were here grow up, or just to watch the children that were here grow up. When we were in Devil's Lake, your kids were all so far away that
being
the grandchildren.
Right, we all grew up in Devil's Lake, but then everybody moved here to Fargo area, almost. Tom moved to Bismarck. What do you think was the worst memory from your childhood?
Oh, my brother's death. My brother Jimmy died when I was 10 and he was 8. 10? I was 12 and he was 10.
I bet that was just...
It was very, very sickening. I mean, really hard.
Do you think you ever got over it?
Oh, you get over it, but you don't forget.
Yeah. Do you think you'll see him in heaven?
I have no idea what heaven is like.
Yeah.
I just can't imagine what heaven is like. And there's so many different options or people, what they think it's like. And I don't know.
Okay. How are you doing? Do you want to keep going?
Or? Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay. How would you like to be remembered?
Well... good, kind, loving Christian. But I know I won't be remembered as a fun person because I'm not a fun person.
Would you like to be remembered as a fun person?
Yes, I would, but I'm not that. I mean, I don't, you know what I mean.
You have a good sense of humor.
Well, that helps.
And I bet you could have been, I wonder if Dad's drinking squelched some of your ability to let loose and be fun.
I have no idea what it made me, except maybe a harder worker for home.
Yeah.
Just to keep the family together.
Yeah. You did that. We're all very close.
We have a good family, I think.
You have 6 kids that are close. That doesn't happen all the time.
But I came from a family of 6 children, too.
Right.
That were pretty close.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Well, you might be remembered as fun also.
Sometimes.
Yeah. For your great-great-grandchildren listening to this years from now, is there any wisdom you'd want to pass on to them?
I would say always try to do the best thing, but sometimes it's hard to know what is the best thing. But I also wouldn't say don't always be so sure that you know what the best thing is. If you can have, what do I want to say? People that help you decide, that you honorable people that help you make the decisions of your life, that's important.
Yeah. Be open to advice.
Be open to advice. But be keen enough to know what is proper advice and what is not proper advice. What else?
What more? What would you want them to know, your great-great-grandchildren?
That they have a wonderful heritage of our families that live here in North Dakota and Minnesota, and even Chicago as they spread out. But this is a wonderful place to start a family and live here, because we're not as provincial as some people would think we are. We know a whole lot more about what goes on in other communities in the other states and out the world than some of those that live in big cities and never don't have any idea what the Midwest is like and are not interested in it. People here are more interested, I think, in other people than other people are in us. Maybe that's natural.
I would agree with that. I really would.
And that's why I think we're more open-minded, too.
I think so.
And accepting.
Mm-hmm. You are. And I think that's true. Can you tell me about your religious beliefs or spiritual beliefs? What's your religion?
Well, it's Catholic now. I grew up as a Congregationalist, which is more open-minded. And I joined the Catholic Church, as I always say, more by compromise, or for compromise, than conviction. Because the marriage would be easier if I became a Catholic.
Yeah.
Raising a family. But I was not always, maybe total against my faith. I always did not believe wholeheartedly in what they taught, but that's what I always confessed that I believed, because I didn't have any other particular belief.
Mm. So what were some things, do you remember, that you didn't agree with?
Well, Holy Communion will really take away all the forgiveness of your sins, but that is a good thing. I'm not so sure about Communion of Saints and forgiveness of sins.
Community of Saints and yeah. Forgiveness of sins.
I do go along with all the church believes about that, but also they say you can't do some things as a Catholic that I think are just fine for it. To go to other churches, you experience other religions or even take part in religious, like a marriage of somebody that wasn't a Catholic. I think that's just fine. If they're good Christian people, in fact, they don't even have to be Christian. I think just having good, honorable people, whatever their beliefs, is the most important thing.
You know, I think Dad would say that the Catholic Church is the one true church. Would you say that?
I'm not sure. It's gone through so many terrible, terrible trials and not always coming out shining. I'm not so sure. But maybe it is the one true church, even if it isn't true to what it should be. Because I think, you know, it's going through such terrible times now because all of sexual abuse. And that's costing the church itself millions and millions of dollars to settle the suits because the priests weren't able to control themselves or the bishops let priests keep going on as priests when they shouldn't have been. How can a really good one true church allow that? I mean, those that are in the direction of the church allow those people to keep on.
Yeah.
I think that's just, it's a black mark on the whole church.
Have you experienced any miracles?
Not really. But I always think the day Dad had been drinking, I think, for almost 2 weeks. And I thought, I went to church this one particular morning, and I prayed to God, I don't know what to do, you've got to help me.
Oh.
And that night, the local state's attorney or whatever showed up at our front door, and Dad was in jail, and he went to treatment. And I thought that was a miracle that would happen that night after I'd been to Mass.
Yeah, and that was a relief for you.
Oh, yes. But also I felt sorry that our priest, Father Morris, was in Chicago, and he died there, but he never knew that Tom went to treatment then, because all the priests really helped Tom in high regard, but they knew he had a real problem, and they couldn't help me, but they, if prayer helped, they prayed for me.
Mm-hmm.
So that was it.
This is kind of like the same question, but what was the most profound spiritual moment of your life?
I have no idea.
Have you ever felt the presence of God?
Oh, I do lots of times.
Really?
You know, when there's a real peace around,
do you ever feel that here in your apartment?
I'm not sure. Maybe it has more to do with being outside or being with people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well,
I would say maybe a few times in church, too. Once when I was in Chicago church, the big one with the cardinal's hats up there.
Oh, yeah, Holy Name Cathedral.
Yeah. That was just the atmosphere there. But I didn't feel that when we were in Rome.
Is it called the Basilica?
Yeah. It was lovely and interesting, but I didn't feel that spiritual feeling I suppose I should have.
Yeah. Well, after that conversation, this is kind of a silly question, but I'll still ask it. Do you believe in God?
I sure do. I don't know who I'm talking to otherwise. What I'd be talking to. I spent a lot of time talking to him. And that's why I think, if you don't believe in God, who do you talk to with your problems or hope for? Oh, I talk to other people, but it isn't the same thing.
Yeah.
In fact, I don't talk to many people about the problems except you children. Because the problems we share, people around here wouldn't be interested in. And they're not really problems, they're just problems.
They're problems.
Yeah.
They are.
But they're family problems.
They're family problems. Yeah.
So how about that?
Okay, we're almost coming to a close here. There's a couple more questions. And you sort of touched on this before, but do you believe in the afterlife?
We always say we do and we think we do. But I just can't imagine it, really. People have such a good idea of what it's like. And I think Jesus promised it to us. So we should. But the concept is such that it's really hard for me to think that absolutely it is. That's it.
Do you have any idea what it would be like?
Well, my concept of it is when we get there, it will be so wonderful. We won't care who we see or what we do as long as we can be with Jesus and God.
Uh-huh.
I know lots of people think there'll be family reunions, but I'm thinking, of course, it's heaven and it can be done. But how many generations are you going to go back to remember? Your mother and dad will remember further back than we can, and you kids can't remember as far back as we do.
Right.
So how does it go?
Right. Have to wait and find out.
That's the only thing to do, is to wait and find out. And you know, there's so much intense study of Revelations in parts of the New Testament. But those are always different people's interpretations. So how many good
You're fine. It's fine.
How many good intentions are set on somebody else's interpretations?
Yeah. They may want it to be that way.
Yes. They want you to believe this, so you do.
Or they want you to. So they state it in such a way because they want you to believe.
They don't want you to.
Well, that's true too. Okay, final question. When you meet God, what do you want to say to him?
Thank you for being here. Thank you for letting me be here. I guess that's it.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you for taking the time to do this interview.
Now I'll go dream about this.
You can dream about the future generations that will Listen to this interview in the Library of Congress.
And it won't mean a thing because I didn't have anything really sparkling to tell them.
You don't know that. You don't know that. Okay, we're going to sign off. I'm Margaret Benedict Crary, the sixth child of Patricia Ann Shiel Crary. And you are?
Patricia Ann Shiel, daughter of Frederick Martin and Mabel Benedict Shiel.
That's right. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Happy 4th of July.
And we can hear the fireworks now.
Are you finished recording?